38 people in South Africa testing positive for COVID-19, a significant number of those in the Western Cape. Every single case, not only in this province, but in all the other three provinces affected, those South Africans having traveled recently to countries that have COVID virus pandemic obviously impacting on them and returning with it. The tests proven and confirmed by the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, and the majority of those who tested positive are under self-isolation at the moment, with a small proportion of them having to go to hospital for treatment. Joining me on the line is Premier Alan Wendy, Premier of the Western Cape Government. Alan, I know, according to conversations yesterday with the Festival Director of the Cape Town International Jazz Festival, Billy Domingo, as well as the founder of the APSA Cape Epic, Kevin Vermaak, that you've been, as your government has been, recommending that perhaps these big events do not go ahead in the numbers that they are anticipating. What other advice have you been given to, I suppose, people who will be affected by the impact of COVID-19?
Morning, FK. Yes, that's correct. Obviously, we don't have the power to demand. We have to wait for national, and as you said, the president has their national cabinet meeting this morning at 10:30. It starts, but we were recommending, I think, specifically a long conversation, because it's so difficult to advise, you know, an event organizer, an entrepreneur, because there's livelihoods involved. There's, you know, people are going to put food on their table through all the subcontract. And, you know, very, very difficult decision. But I think especially when there's international travelers involved, it made it much easier for me, you know, because, as you said right in the beginning, all the cases we have at the moment are all from people who have picked up the virus while traveling and then coming either back home to South Africa or traveling here as a tourist. And that made it easier, because both of those events do have international artists, international visitors, international cyclists. The Epic has a 50% international field. And then you're going to put international visitors along with South Africans, and then they're going to cycle all the way around the province, going from town to town, with all gathering every evening in a big tent. So that made it much easier to give that advice. And we again met the whole of yesterday. I've got teams meeting today again, and we have another cabinet meeting ourselves at 4, so that we can react both to the national, but also to continue with our own plans, you know, breaking it down, preparing. I spent most of the night not able to sleep, and trying to analyze why it moved so quickly, you know, what it is, what it's like in context with normal flu. We still know in your numbers in the world of, say, deaths to coronavirus versus deaths to normal flu, but the contagion, and it spreads very, very fast. And of course, there are people at risk. So, you know, we have to make responsible decisions, and we've got to make sure that we are prepared as best as we can, and learn every single minute, because people are learning around the world all the time. Our health professionals, but of course, it goes much further than that in the preparedness discussion. It's not just about events; it's about every citizen that lives in this province.
And of course, key to any efforts is to try and delay as much as possible that very first case of local transmission, which is why the work that is being done by both the Department of Health and NICD in trying to obviously contact the people that would have potentially come into contact with a positive COVID-19 patient, that we try and get those people isolated to minimize the potential and the impact for that local transmission. Are you satisfied with the efforts of the various arms of government in trying to fight against that?
You know, obviously, if not everything's perfect. So, you know, as we were meeting on Friday afternoon, you know, people were raising questions. Some people were battling to get through the national call number. So we started yesterday to set up a provincial system that will be able to take overflow, getting retired doctors or volunteers with medical backgrounds to be able to answer those calls, go through the triage system. So we were setting that up all of yesterday. I will probably have finality this morning as to whether it's exactly the same number or whether we've got to advertise a second number. And of course, the point about, you know, We know that at the moment it's people are contracting the virus when they're traveling internationally. And our big risk is that if you see how fast the virus grows, we've got to make sure that we're ready for that, when it does mutate. And so, yeah, it's very, very strict that we keep people in their isolation, ask people to do that. And that's obviously why our teams are meeting to make sure that we're able to mitigate this as best as possible. And then also get direction from the National Cabinet on the national disaster. But we will also have to make our provincial decisions this afternoon as well.
The newspaper speculating that meeting between President Cyril Ramaphosa and his cabinet will see some drastic announcements, I suppose, being made, including a total ban on travellers from Europe, ordering sporting events to be held in empty stadiums, limiting mass gatherings possibly to 1,000 people, to obviously try and mitigate against the spread of the coronavirus. I imagine your government will need to be in support of whatever decision is made by the national government. However, it's going to have a devastating impact on our economy.
Absolutely. So we need to make sure that we've got a team together that's looking at the economy. What other opportunities are there in this time of crisis? So, for example, which medicines or which products, hand sanitizer, flying off the shelves, do we import? Do we have import replacement? Are the businesses that manufacture them able to pick up quicker manufacture? And I think for me, very, very importantly, we are really in a recession. Load shedding on top of the recession, or one of the causes, but we've got now coronavirus and a slowing down of the economy. Are we going to also have the plans to get out of that hole as quickly as possible? So we need work streams that are with private sector, with our universities, trying to make the best calls that we can. But my first port of call right now is to make sure that we have the best mitigation plan in place that we can.
The U.S. Congress passing a bill to, I think, to the tune of $50 billion to help the administration, obviously, cushion, if you like, the negative impact on the economy. The reality is, with the cancellation of the Cape Town International Jazz Festival, the 2020 APSA Cape Epic and similar events, I imagine the Two Oceans Marathon is going to have to follow suit. There are thousands of sometimes temporary jobs that now are not going to be realized by those people, meaning that whatever, and we know that for every one person employed, there are nine other people that are supported by that person. Do you, as a provincial government, have any kind of capacity to make available such a stimulus package? Can you petition Treasury in national government to make available such an amount to help you soften the impact of this blow in people's pockets?
Okay, obviously, as a provincial government, our budget comes via an adjustment from the national government. Obviously, we could look at some of our own revenue, but I think mainly we will take the lead from national, because obviously when you're talking about those kind of bailouts or those kind of individual support packages, this runs into billions. At the same time, we are also looking at how, obviously not for individuals, but we will have to start apportioning different budgets. That's why you need the national government to determine whether it's an emergency or not, or a disaster declaration, because that gives you the ability to change budgets, to move money around so that you can put in place what you need to put in place. And we will be following suit and waiting for the national discussion. Yesterday, we were also in telephone contact with the DG, the national DG, ahead of this meeting, and our DG doing the same thing. So we're aligning as best as we can, but obviously we also, as a provincial government, will make our own decisions at 4 o'clock when we meet, not necessarily directly on budget, depending on whether it's a declared event or not. But we also have already been speaking about how do we, through our existing regulatory environment, how do we make certain funding available so that we can mitigate.
And I imagine in that cabinet discussion that you're having at 4 o'clock will be conversations around schools. Some schools and parents are wondering, do I keep my children back at home? The advice so far from the Western Cape Education Department was no, we are not at that stage yet. But it is something that you're going to have to seriously consider.
Absolutely. And we aren't at that stage yet, but we are going to have to talk about what the triggers are. And that was my discussion on Friday with disaster management and the team. And yesterday, we actually escalated some of our own mechanisms within our own cabinet. And we had various meetings yesterday. Yesterday, that team that has been put together around supporting, advising the events actually met yesterday. We met as well with a couple of people looking at the different streams. We've got work streams to look at making sure that we have capacity, understanding how many beds we've got, what kind of respirator systems have we got. But then you've got to go down to having a look at food security should you have to quarantine or lockdown, and especially what happens to people who are susceptible or immune deficient, and how do we try to boost those immunities? What is it that we should be doing? I mean, this is really, it's a really complex environment, and we've got to learn from the world as they're learning, and we've got to try to get ahead of it as best we can.
A comment and then a parting question. The first comment is that on the front page of the Sunday edition of the Week in Argus, a former ambassador, I think, to Italy was coming to Cape Town, Shirish Soni, who was returning to the country from Rome this past Friday. When he and his wife arrived at Cape Town International Airport, they were not checked at all. When he walked to the official to tell her that they come from Italy, that official apparently said they're only interested in people coming from China and surrounding countries. So perhaps if you can have a conversation with Dion Clute, who is the general manager for Cape Town International Airport, to please remedy that. And then the final question actually comes from a listener. We are encouraging Cape Townians and residents of the Western Cape to obviously wash their hands and do so for 20 seconds. And she had gone to a shopping center, I think, and obviously, following our countdown to day zero, the shopping centers have put in measures to reduce the amount of water flow, if you like, from those taps. And she's saying perhaps if we can now put in measures to undo a little bit of that, we'll still be responsible in our consumption of water, but we do need to be able to have access to water in order for us to wash our hands clean.
So I think, first of all, definitely that call I put out actually 2 weeks ago to all of the mayors, through all the municipalities, and then again last week. And obviously, if we find it anywhere, please, we need to speak to the management of that organization or that public space or that business space to please open a couple of taps, because we need to make that available and make sure that there is soap at those wash basins, because it doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you read, and last night I spent most of the night reading about different mitigating, and it's always about good hygiene practices is the first and the most important mitigating mechanism that you can put in place, proper hygiene practices. Unfortunately, we're going to have to stop hugging and shaking hands, etc. We're going to have to keep some social distancing, as they say. And definitely that call is still definitely out there. I will, if I'm still hearing more cases, I'll put it into the team again today to say make sure that that we can help with the hygiene practices. And we've also got some ideas around some of our public spaces that they'll be reporting back to me today. And then the case around at the airport, all I can say is that, when these arise, we need to raise them again. And perhaps I'll get, I think what I've picked up from the airport so far was really good. I know that last weekend, anybody that I spoke to internationally were very impressed with the airport, and both Otamba and Cape Town, that our systems were really good, better than they'd picked up in most other places. But it is a bit distressing when you hear someone who comes from an area and the message they're being given is wrong, because every single one of our cases are derived through international travel. And of course, for us, it's travel that's come out of Europe, and we know the speed of the infection rate in Italy. So that does concern me. I will double check. I think a call to Dion would also be a good idea. But I must say that I also got a call last week from an individual coming through the airport, and he said, you know, when you go through the airport, somebody says to you, can I have your ticket? They grab your ticket and then they scan it. And we're trying to say hygiene best practice is don't, you know, have contact. And that within one day, the airport changed it, that you can actually scan your own passport. You can actually scan your own boarding pass. And it's those little things that also are going to count at the end of the day. And we need South Africans, we need the Western Cape population who see them, because they recognize it, and to talk about it so we can make those changes, because those are the things that are going to help us through this.
Premier, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning, and certainly all the best for your meetings today, particularly that cabinet meeting at 4 o'clock, following whatever announcement will come from President Cyril Ramaphosa. Ellen Wendy, Premier of the Western Cape Government.